Welcome to a Burst of Hope podcast with your co-hosts, Kim Stanley and Martha Wilson. Who couldn't use a little hope, encouragement, and inspiration? Tune in every week as we share heart-to-heart conversation with other hope seekers. Join us at the table for real talk that will meet you right where you are. So go ahead, press pause on worry, overwhelm, and crazy, and breathe in God of Hope. Hi friends, we're so glad you're with us again today. This is episode 29 of A Burst of Hope. And if you were with us last week, then you heard from our dear friends Lynn and Sharon, and they are back again today because their story is so incredible. Man, if you haven't heard it, please go back and listen. It's an awesome story of hope and God and His compassion and deliverance and how He brings two people together. But the story continues, and so you're going to hear more of that today.
Yes, and we're just pretty wowed about how God works.
Yeah.
And something that I remember from your story last week was what I heard within you is that you both were willing and you both had a desire. And Sharon, you desired that God would deliver you from cigarettes.
Yeah.
And you were willing and you were seeking Him. And then Lynn, I saw the same thing in you. You had a desire to just be used by God, and you were willing, even though what He gave you to say was kind of odd, but you heard Him and you obeyed Him. And I think those are so, so key. And then Kim and I were just talking before we began recording that something that really stood out to us in the story was that Sharon, she had a new desire for this relationship. What was it you were saying about that was new for her that she...
Yeah, well, that God, you know, took that desire away, but He filled it with Himself. She had a desire to be filled with Him. And then He showed her some other things too. But I just love that, you know, that He replaced that old desire with Himself.
Right, right. So we want to hear about the new replacement. And I think, you know, Lynn, we go back. You shared last week the verse Jeremiah 33:3, and the things maybe that you said about that that leads us into this new replacement that God gave her. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that Jeremiah 33:3 was a verse that God gave me as sort of a verse that shows this God story that says, "Cry to me and I will hear you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know." And I do believe God made that verse come alive in this God story.
Yeah.
He was teaching me new things that I did not know about listening to His Spirit, obeying Him, even if it seemed a little strange or illogical or odd. It wasn't what people think about you or not think about you, but it was about obedience to His voice. And I think He was showing Sharon some new and mighty things too that we had not seen. So God was definitely at work. His love for Sharon was evident, and He was pursuing her, and He was pursuing me, because He had new and great things He wanted to show us.
He did. And I think, you know, when I think back on that and the day after, I was filled with a joy from Sunday. I can't even describe that joy. It was so intense that it was visible on my face, this joy that I had and the peace that I felt and the freedom, because I had smoked at that time probably about 40 years, and I woke up, well, I walked out of church without a desire for a cigarette or needing it physically to help my body function. And then that great peace that came with it and that joy. And it was just unbelievable to think, you know, I thought you would have to have such a great, huge, huge faith for anything like this to happen. And I knew mine was very small, that it was like that mustard seed. But when I got to work that morning and I walked through a big long room of people to go get a cup of coffee, and people were just looking at me. And then finally, this one woman came up to me and she said, "What happened to you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Something has happened. It's on your face."
Wow.
And I said, "Oh." I said, "But she's also a believer, so they can discern and see those things." Mm-hmm. And I said, "It was the Holy Spirit. I believe you're seeing on my face." And then I told her the story. Mm. And that kind of, when Lynn called me later on that morning, it was really early, and I was customer service, and I have a headphone on, and I'm plugged into a phone, and, you know, you're connected all day long, and you're supposed to disconnect before you take the cord out, and Lynn called on my, you know, my cell phone, so I just yanked that cord out of there. I said, "What else does this woman have to say? I want to know what she has to say."
I'm not going
to
miss it.
Yeah, and she says, "Well, what's going on?" I said, "I'm not smoking." "I don't want one." And she said, "That's incredible."
Wow.
And then I was amazed that she thought it was incredible when, you know, she had such a great part in it. So from that day, there was 2 solid weeks of joy that I know I will not probably never experience till I get to heaven again and see Jesus's face. Mm. But it is absolutely unforgettable joy. Mm. And it just reminds me of what all God has for us.
Yeah. A burst of joy.
Yes.
It is a burst of joy.
Gave
so,
you.
Yeah. So,
it was the evidence, really, of his healing and deliverance within you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing how that word was spread, how the love of Jesus and how he can deliver and how he loves us. I worked in a building that had 13 floors. And we had been there for about 2 years, I guess, and they have a smoking deck because, you know, you're not allowed to smoke in an office anymore. And I was always going up on the, you know, in the smoking deck. And so when I would be on the elevator, somebody would say, "Where have you been? I haven't seen you on the smoking deck." I said, "Oh, I'll tell you where I've been. I don't smoke anymore." And I would start telling them this story. So people would ride that elevator. We would ride up and down 13 floors until the story was told. People would get on and off the elevator, and they would listen to the story, and then more people would be riding up and down. So I'm telling this story, and I probably didn't work very much in that time that I was still there. But I know that whole building heard that story, and it just amazed them. And I did have one man come up to me later on. He said, okay, I have heard the story. Jesus took these cigarettes away from you," he said. "But what I want to know is, why didn't you gain any weight?" I said, "The carrots."
Oh, here we go.
That's the carrot.
He said, "What do you mean, the carrots?" I said, "Well, the carrots kept me from gaining weight." And he said, "How did a carrot keep you from gaining weight?" I said, "Well, Jesus told me to eat one. So when he told me to eat the carrots, I took a pound of carrots and I cleaned them all up because I didn't know how many carrots I was going to eat. I didn't know when I was going to eat them, but I knew I had to have them with me. So I put them in a baggie and I carried this bag of carrots with me everywhere I went. And every once in a while, Jesus would say, 'Eat a carrot.' So I grabbed the carrot and I'd eat the whole carrot. I'd say, 'Okay,' and be done with it and didn't think about it anymore. Well, I had a physical coming up. So when I went in to the doctor, I told him the story."
Yeah.
And he was sitting there amazed. And I said, "If you don't mind, I would like to have a breathing test. And I would also like to know why I was to eat a carrot." So he said, "Okay, I'll give you the breathing test." All the nurses were coming in, listening to the story. It's so funny. And they were all just sitting there. The breathing test was very good.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was surprised at that. Yeah. And so he said, "Well, okay." He said, "The breathing test is good. And now I'll tell you why the carrots." I said, "Okay." And he said, "Everybody that has an addiction of any kind, whether it's alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, and they come off of that addiction, they crave carbs. That's why everybody that quits smoking will gain 300 pounds because they're eating sugar left and right and carbs left and right. He said, but a carrot has just enough sugar in it if you don't eat a lot of them. And if you don't eat them often, it'll stomp that carb craving. And I said, that is absolutely
amazing. You just gave us some wonderful advice there.
It is. It's good. It's good advice. But if I had overeaten the carrots, he said, it would have kicked in the carb craving and you would have been eating sugar. So Jesus controlled when I was going to eat that carrot and how, if I was going to eat the whole thing, I was going to eat the whole thing. It didn't matter what size it was because everybody knows carrots are different sizes in the bags. And, but I always thought that it was amazing. So I've always thought that carrots are my favorite food, and they're probably the most healthy thing. But that, along with Pam Hudson, when she heard the story, she said, well, she had a lot of health issues, and she was eating vegan, and she said, I'm going to have to teach you how to eat healthy, because if God has taken these cigarettes away from you, there's a purpose for this, and you need to know how to keep your body healthy.
Wow.
So every morning, I would imagine it was for almost a year, every morning that I came to work, there was a cold, an ice cold, and I never did figure out how she did this, but there was an ice cold energy drink that she had made for me every morning. She brought that to me every morning, and I drank that every morning for about a year. And then she started telling me about grains. And then I met Mr. Bray.
So just a minute, Sharon. So Pam was a co-worker.
She was a co-worker, yes.
And she was giving you that next piece, the health piece. The just health like God piece, brought Lynn to you at the right time for his purpose and his design. And then there came Pam. And now, and she taught you about grains
the
and
grains
healthy eating.
And healthy eating.
And then you met Mr. Bray,
then
who
I met
is
Mr. Bray. Mr. Bray was a member of New Hope, and although he doesn't have the paper that said he's a master gardener, he is a master gardener. He loved gardening. He has done it all of his life, and he loved teaching people how to do it. And I was one of his students. I was so lucky to be also his friend.
He's a treasure.
So, we miss him now that he's passed on, and
we do.
I know you really miss him, but he greatly impacted your life.
He did. Yes, he did. Just the kindness of him and how he wanted to teach you to do things. And he didn't only stop at telling you how to do something, but he went a step farther and he set up opportunity for you to be able to do it. And that was a big thing. So he knew how I loved to garden, and I started working in, I thought I had to be a master gardener to work in the New Hope Garden, which was part of the extension. But the land and the electricity and the water is furnished by New Hope. And then the extension buys the seeds and everything else that you need to do. But it's just such a great spot because you have an acre of land, and we give all that food away. And I wanted to work in that garden because I wanted to know how to grow things, and I also wanted to give things away. You know, there's
we like that part.
Yeah. So it's just joy to watch this stuff grow and see how pretty it comes out and see the gratitude of those that received it. I think there's about 14 organizations that we give food out to, and we still do that to this day. And it's kind of like Mr. Bray's legacy.
Yes,
but he put the love of growing, although it had been part of my life, all my life, and I had eaten organic, and Mom and my grandma, and it was just a way of life for us. We had a garden every year. If you weren't eating fresh, you were eating canned food from the garden that had been canned all year. So that added to the health also that I have. And And the desire to know how to do that didn't come, though, till Mr. Bray was teaching on that. And so he would find me gardens to grow in. He was so funny. And it was always, it didn't just help me, it helped the other person, too. I think the first person that he put me into a garden was a lady that had been widowed. And he said, we need to do something for her this year. And he said, I need to ask you to help me. He said, if we get that plowed and help you lay the plastic down and, you know, we help you a little bit. He said, would you grow a garden for her? And I said, well, sure. So they did all that for me, and I went in there and I worked in that thing every day, and it was just an absolutely amazing garden. And I said, I can't believe this garden. Because, you know, I'm just not that good at that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it started to dawn on me, this isn't you.
Yes.
This isn't anything you're doing. You know, it's help from a lot of people. It is God's knowledge that mm-hmm. he's putting in the ground. And it started me on a journey of seeing how God so works in life and for humans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like even this morning, I had to go back and look and see, did God make the Garden of Eden before he made Adam? Or was it the other way around? But he made the garden first, mm-hmm. and then he made us, and then he put us in that garden. And it's just amazing mm-hmm. because he prepared for us before we were here. Yeah. He knew what we would need. He knew we would need something to do with our hands. We would need a purpose, and we would need to eat. We would like to eat,
yeah.
And he'd want us to eat healthy. So yeah. we were vegetarians for a long time, I think, before we started eating meat. But I think the original was to be a vegetarian. All, but the best part about it is when Jesus became a man and came to earth to live among us. He ate, he cooked, mm-hmm. and he'll still be doing that in heaven with us.
Yeah,
and I think about, you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and I thought, of course, we're going to have a feast.
Yes, we are.
We are. So
a really long table.
Yeah. So yes. And, yes. So there are so many aspects of the garden when you get to looking at it and just touching it. And I know it has to do with different personalities and everything, but it just started to amaze me. You know, after the first garden, there came a second garden. And I have never had a place to grow a garden, but I've always had a garden.
Wow.
God's always furnished me a garden. And I have made such deep friendships, and they're spiritual friendships, because every place that he sent me to a garden, it has been some place that that belonged to somebody that loved the Lord.
Mm.
So you have all that spiritual connection. Mm. And I think of the verse that God wants us to work with our hands, and he wants us to use the gifts that he gives us.
Mm.
And it's not just for us, it's to share. Yeah. So we will have something to share.
Yeah.
And it's always been such a wonderful thing. Martha talks about, you know, the vegetable trucks here. Well, that was the best part of the day, was to bring the truck and say, look what God did, because it would be beautiful in the truck, all of it together. It would be amazing. You'd think, how in the world? And knowing that it wasn't anything that I knew or anything that my hand was doing, but that it was God's hand growing this.
Yeah.
And when you start looking at the, I think the thing that amazed me most was cutting open a cantaloupe that I had grown and thinking, well, you know, look at this thing. It's actually a good size and it's sweet. And you cut it open and all the seeds are just in a row, even. There's a million of them. It looks like a million. And you wonder, why is anybody in this world hungry? Mm-hmm. Because just one of these seeds would produce at least 10 of these melons.
Wow.
And then again and again and again.
That's phenomenal. And what spiritual, you know, you and I've discussed so many spiritual analogies from the garden, and that one right there about, you know, just one seed and what's produced from one seed, and one seed of sowing the seed of the word, sowing the seed of prayer, the seed of intercession. So many, the seed of life in someone, seed of encouragement in someone else. Pretty, and Sharon, you said it was kind of like full circle here. Is you talked about the spiritual connections that were made in the garden, and I just see it coming right back, you know, to you and Lynn, because not knowing each other and how it began, and what God was starting, and not only did you share the good of the garden, the fruit of the garden, you know, with the land, that you have shared from the fruit of your lives.
Yes, it is.
And now as we sit at the table, that you both are side by side ministering to other women, just like you carried the truck and delivered the fruit of the garden and shared with so many. You would hear of, I remember you hear of someone that had cancer that wasn't doing well, and you said, I've got to get this healthy food to them. I've got to get this out. And the same way, you know, spiritually. And now that's the journey that God has you and Lynn on in ministering.
Well, and I was going to say, as I was listening to Sharon share, it just reminded me how whenever there was a God encounter or she saw God doing something, she shared it with others. You think about that God encounter where we prayed and she said, I'm free. That day, that at that moment, she goes, God, I'm free. She knew he had done a work in her. She went and told so many people in her office on all those 13 floors. So it wasn't just like the garden isn't just for you. You took it out to feed others. And the same way, this God story of what he's done in your life, you've shared it so beautifully with people at work and others. And it's small seeds that have brought great harvest.
Yeah, and the garden is such a beautiful picture, like what you said about in the beginning, how Adam and Eve in the garden, I mean, God made the garden first as provision for Adam and Eve, but it was also provision of worship. When they were doing that, when they were tending the garden, it was worship in the most purest sense, because they were experiencing God's presence face to face at the beginning. But how he allows us that same privilege, if you think of the garden as, you know, our lives, the kingdom, the church, you know, we are, as we tend those gardens, as we tend those gifts that God's given us as believers, that's worship, but it's also providing a harvest as we share and encourage and minister to one another, minister to the world. It's just so, it's all circle, it's all circular, cyclical, you know, it's all relatable. And how we are, how God has given us that privilege of worship and tending the garden with our hands, literally, or whether it's spiritually to people.
I love how he combines both.
Yeah, he does.
He's a wonderful God, isn't he?
Yes.
And there's a story in all of creation. If we would just look around, the way that God put this whole earth, you know, into motion, it all points back to him. And, you know, here we are a Monday after Easter. Just celebrate once again where we see resurrection life in a life and in the dirt and the fruit of the garden. And so as we conclude today, friends, I just hope that you are joining in with us and celebrating not only the story in these two lives, but that it gives you hope that if you too are struggling with an addiction, that if you had a hat box to put a request in, you would definitely put your request. And, you know, you don't have to orchestrate how it will happen. Sharon did not orchestrate. She could not have orchestrated that she would meet someone that would have faith to believe, you know, with her. And I know it goes without saying, It wasn't Lynn's words. It wasn't something magical. It wasn't even a magical carrot, was it, Sharon?
No.
But it was the work of God. And he is longing to repeat the story over and over and over. Or if it's just a longing in your heart that God would sow new seed in you you know, friends, believe for it.
Yeah.
Believe for it today, because yes. He wants it for you too.
Yes, He does. He's a personal God of hope. And you know, we celebrate Easter, but we live Easter. We are an Easter people, and that is our hope, and that God is, we're putting all our hope into that basket of Jesus resurrected and mm-hmm. is new life now and forever. And we all get to partake of that. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us today.
Friends, thank you for joining us today for a burst of hope. Until next week, go ahead, receive His overflowing hope.